Be in the house of the Lord this morning and to be in your house. And it's true, one sweet day we're just going to fly away. This morning we're going to come to the third message in this series of messages on embracing the cross of Jesus Christ. My friends, did you ever think you'd see a time when we could not come into the house of the Lord together? And yet, thank goodness for modern technology that we can still gather together, albeit we won't be seeing one another face to face. But God is watching, and God knows what we're about this morning. And so as we come to this third message today in the series of messages on embracing the cross, we have learned so far that the cross of Christ is an instrument of peace. In fact, unless we embrace the cross of Christ, there can be no peace. We'll have no personal peace because the cross is the only means of peace between God and us that there is. And I'd like to ask you a question today. Do you have peace in your life today? Now, I'm not asking if in this current pandemic, if it's only heightened your struggle and trial, I'm certain. Because Christ, we need to understand something. Christ didn't come to get us out of trouble. He came to be with us in our troubles. And so basing your answer on the current circumstances has no bearing on this question. Do you have peace? David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation," and the world is tribulating today. But notice what Jesus said as well, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." David was facing death, and Jesus was facing crucifixion, but note, both spoke of peace. The absence of fear is peace and comfort, as David alluded to in the valley experience he was walking in. Do you have peace amidst this current pandemic today? Now, I want you to know that there is the possibility for peace for all men, because we've already learned in this series the cross is an instrument of peace. You see, God's Word says, Colossians 1, 20 and 21, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, in you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Oh, friend, there is a possibility of peace because of the blood of the cross. But to have this peace, you and I are going to have to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. And then last week we learned that the cross, it's an instrument of power. And as you think about the day in which you're living, do you have Christ's power at work in your heart today? The Bible says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" In Romans 8 and 31. Do you understand? Do you have the knowledge that there is absolutely, if you're a child of God, there is absolutely nothing that can come into your life that the Lord doesn't allow? And if God allows it, and He has allowed it into many lives in this current pandemic, we know that He is going to use whatever it is for our good in His glory every single time. Those are His promises that are written to us throughout His Word. And that's why we read in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Friends, if we want to have the power of God in our lives, then you and I are going to have to come and we're going to have to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8 and 32 that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Oh, how good it is to be free. Family and friends, with freedom comes peace and joy. And I don't know what you're dealing with today. God does. And I don't know about... And I don't know about you, but that is more than enough for me to desire to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. It's more than enough to create in me a desire to be a more cross-centered person so that I might be a more Christ-centered Christian. And I believe that one of the reasons for the current pandemic is because we've not only taken our eyes off of the cross of Jesus Christ, we're no longer looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. Many in the church and out of the church are looking to another source, if you will. We've wandered from the cross of Christ. We've marginalized the cross of Christ. We've made and gotten ourselves idols, which is any noun, person, place, or thing that we look to as our source. We've gotten something to replace His cross in our lives. Family and friends, God's not interested in us singing a song, God bless America. God's not interested in us saying a pledge of allegiance, using the word God to a nation. God is interested in us pledging our allegiance to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when God detects that He's being marginalized, and we're more interested in God blessing America apart from His cross, or blessing something else other than the cross upon which His Son died for us, God will not be mocked. God will allow a disruption. And today, all over the world, Almighty God is speaking. There has been a disruption to the normal order of things. As a matter of fact, we could say there isn't anything normal about our world today. And so once again, God is calling people back to the cross, and He's calling people back to the meaning of the cross. You know, I get to thinking about this, and I think about, who knows? There's but a step between us and death. No man knows how long he'll live here upon the face of this earth. Do you realize that today may be your last opportunity to receive the forgiveness of Christ for your sins? No one ever thought we'd see a time like this where God has literally stopped the world from going along like it always has. God is speaking to the world today. Friend, are you listening? When is the last time you really considered the cross of Jesus Christ? And the reason I'm asking is because many today want a Savior, it seems, but not a Lord. They want God to bless them, and they want God to give them comfort, and God to give them freedom from their troubles, but they do not want to consider His cross and how that should impact their lives. And the reason some folks don't consider the cross of Jesus Christ, and I want to share with you a few reasons why, and the first is simply because they do not want to admit their failings or their failures. You see, there are many today who just refuse or don't want to deal with those things, and they kind of remind me of our first parents, Adam and Eve, who were like that, and they ran and they tried to hide from God. You see, for all of the positives that are associated with a cross to bring peace and power, there's also something that's very negative about the cross. Something very negative that's associated with the cross, and that's shame. You see, when we recall our failings and our failures, we feel shame, or at least we should feel shame and guilt. And this may be perhaps another reason for the current pandemic. We have lost sight of the shame that Jesus Christ bore on that cross to save us from our sins. It seems as if we're living in a time when we hear more excuses for justification of sin than reasons for repenting of our sin. Thus, God has given to our world today a collective timeout, if you will. God wants us to be looking perhaps for the very first time to the cross of Jesus Christ. That may be what it is for you. He wants you to look to the cross of Christ and the salvation that it provides. And for others, God wants you to return to the cross so you can get straight with Him. You may be a child of the living God, and God's calling out to you today because you have left your first love. You know, life would be a whole lot simpler if we could consider Christ first in everything, but we just don't seem to do that, do we? But God, Christ, should be first in everything. And so I want you to look with me in the book of Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 12. And right where you're at home, please rise. Get your Bible and rise, because we do that when we're together in church. And here's what the Word of God says to us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Friends, right where you're at, would you bow your heads and would you pray with me? Oh, Father, would you speak unto us today? Let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary of hearing your word. Let us not grow weary of reading your word. Let us come with a renewed zeal that we might hear, that we might embrace the wonderful cross of Jesus Christ with all of its glory, and today with all of its shame. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to look again at Hebrews 12 and 2. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And friends, I want you to know this is one of those hard candy verses of the Bible. You're going to have to keep turning it over and over in your mouth, just like you would one of your favorite pieces of hard candy, because you've got to spend some time concentrating, some time meditating upon this. But I can promise you that the benefits are so sweet if you have an ear to hear this morning. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the shame of the cross. According to the New Testament Dictionary of Theology, the word shame that is used in this verse literally means to disfigure, to make ugly. And those words bring to mind Isaiah's prophecy in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're told he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now these verses aren't telling us that Jesus was somehow physically unattractive. They're telling us about the position in which Jesus Christ placed Himself when he was dying on Calvary's cross for us. The cross is an instrument of shame. And one of the reasons that we need to hear this is because the cross, at least on one level, doesn't seem to have that kind of impact anymore. It's a fashion symbol, something that people put on as part of their jewelry, accessories, without even the thinking about the cross as an instrument of death. Author Philip Graham Ryken wrote, "The cross of Christ has been tamed. This is a sign that its true meaning has been lost, for as soon as people understand what crucifixion means, it becomes utterly offensive to them." Now, how do we know that the cross was such an instrument of shame in Bible times? Well, allow me to share with you a couple of answers. First, by understanding what the Roman citizens, not Roman Christians, but Roman secular citizens, thought of the cross. I bet you weren't aware that the Roman writer Cicero described crucifixion as a most cruel and disgusting punishment. It is a crime to put a Roman citizen in chains. It is an enormity to flog one, sheer murder to slay one. What then shall I say of crucifixion? It is impossible to find a word for such an abomination. Let the very mention of the cross be far removed, not only from a Roman citizen's body, but from his mind, his eyes, his ears. To the Roman, the cross was a vile thing. It was associated with torture and bleeding, nakedness and agony. That's why the New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce wrote, "To die by crucifixion was to plumb the lowest depths of disgrace. It was a punishment reserved for those who were deemed most unfit to live, a punishment for those who were subhuman." And the point is this: the cross was a shameful thing designed to disfigure, to make ugly, to expose one to the ridicule of society. Even God himself had it recorded in the Mosaic Law, so that the Jews would understand that the cross was a most shameful way to die. And the Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, "And if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God." Friend, do you understand that God himself viewed crucifixion as a curse? And that's why Jesus Christ was made to carry his cross outside of the holy city Jerusalem to the Mount of Calvary. You see, they would have never allowed such a brutal death to take place inside the holy city. That prompted one writer to write, "The cursed death of the cursed man had to take place outside the city wall." And the point is, the cross is an instrument of shame. And that fact brings us face to face with the issue of shame and how we're going to face it. Because Scripture is absolutely clear, there is no such thing as a cross without shame. Whatever cross Jesus Christ is calling you to bear today, I want you to understand, you nor I will be willing to pick it up. Neither you nor I will be willing to carry the cross until we are willing to deal with the shame that comes with it. And we know that the only way to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is by coming to the cross of Christ and bowing before it and asking Jesus Christ to come into our heart and into our soul and to be our Lord and our Savior, that His blood would cleanse us from our sins. But I want you to know what stops many people from doing that today. It's shame of having to admit that I have sinned. And I've come short of the glory of God. You see, many today find the shame that's associated with that. Too high a price, higher price than they're willing to pay. They're just not willing to do it. That's why the preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is foolish to those who are perishing. Instead of embracing the cross, they run away from the cross. They back away from the cross. They don't want anything to do with the cross. And even as believers, we cannot grow spiritually in Christ until we are willing to embrace the cross. I wish we were perfect the moment we got saved, but we all know that's not the case. We all know we still make mistakes. We still sin. And friend, unless we embrace the cross and deal with the shame, we're going to stunt our growth in Christ. Friends, I wish I always said and did the right thing, but I don't. Sometimes I say and do things I wish I would not have said or done. But the truth is, I'm a work in progress, and if you know Christ, so are you. But there are times when I personally fail, just as there's times when I know you fail, and I don't like the times when I fail because of the shame that it brings. But if I'm going to be forgiven by both God and the individual to whom I've said or done the wrong thing to, I've got to deal with the shame of it all. And it's not easy. It's not easy to go to somebody and tell them that I didn't serve them well as a pastor, as a coach, as a friend. It's not easy to admit when you've done wrong. It's not easy to go to somebody. It's not easy to come to God. Hey, if it were easy, everybody would be a Christian. But it's not easy. And beyond that, we don't know if the other party we've said or done the wrong thing to will forgive us. And the fear of not knowing how the other party is going to react is what stops us from embracing the shame many times. But the only way to grow is to learn from our mistakes, and we must do what God, what Christ did, and embrace the shame of the cross. See, there's no such thing as a cross without shame. There's no such thing as a cross without a price. And we can't embrace the cross without experiencing shame, without admitting that something about us is ugly, sinful, and just not right. And you see, that leaves us with a huge question. It's a question we have to ask ourselves. How much value are we going to place on our shame? Are we going to let our shame stop us from embracing the cross and growing spiritually in Jesus Christ? And therefore, we need to consider this question, how Jesus dealt with the shame. I want you to look closely again at the phrase in the middle of Hebrews 12 and 2, but I'm going to pick it up at the end of verse 1 where he says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. You see, Scripture clearly teaches the cross is an instrument of shame. And the passage clearly outlines the categories we've been talking about this morning. And when we look at the Bible and we look into Scripture, we can ask the question, what did Jesus do? And the Bible tells us for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, what does it mean to despise the shame? And how are you and I to do that in our everyday lives? And I want you to understand something. The word despise is the key to all of this. What does the word despise mean? You might say hate, and that's true. But what does it mean to hate the shame that is associated with the cross? And for that, we need to go to the Greek word, and we need to think about what the Greek word says. And the Greek word says to us, to despise the shame is to think lightly of it. So when the Hebrew writer said, Jesus endured the cross by despising the shame, he's saying to you and I that Jesus thought lightly of the shame. He didn't assign a heavy weight of value to it. He didn't let the shame that came from the cross become so important that he failed to do what God wanted him to do. How many of you would agree that that's an important lesson for us today, isn't it? We should never let shame become such a focus that it stops us from doing what God would have us to do. Friends, from our Lord's perspective, he had but one goal, the goal of finishing the work that God had sent him to do. And if he obeyed, he would have the joy that comes from pleasing his Father. I noticed something here. In order for him to please his Father asked him to die on Calvary's cross. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in order to please the Father, Jesus had to willingly go and die on that cross. We all remember his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, Father, if there be any way, take this from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there was no other way. For you and I to receive what we so desperately need, the forgiveness of our sin. And Jesus had to experience the shame that we should have experienced, the shame that came from such a death on such an instrument of shame. He had to bear the weight of my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. And the issue was, what weight is he going to assign to it? And Scripture tells us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In the Greek, he thought lightly of that shame. He didn't let shame stop him from embracing the cross. And the early church had a critical decision to make. Because, friends, they were, what were they going to do with a religion that had as its central character the cross of Jesus Christ? That to their entire culture was an instrument of shame. Would they ignore the cross? Or would they let it become their rallying point? Because the early Christians had to deal with the scorn that was heaped on people who worshipped a crucified man. And what did they do? The Bible proves that they did exactly what this passage is telling us to do. For the joy that was set before them, they endured the cross. They thought lightly of it. So over and over and over again in Scripture, we find verses such as these. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. And the point is, the cross is an instrument of shame. And Jesus Christ did not let that shame stop him from embracing the cross. The early church didn't let that shame stop them from embracing the cross. And so the question for us becomes, what are you and I going to do with the shame that comes from the cross? So what we oftentimes do, unfortunately, is we assign a heavier weight to what people are going to think than what God is going to think. We carry around a burden we were never meant to carry. We let it stunt our growth. We let it stop our relationships. We let it divide our families, divide our nation. We let it keep us from coming to the cross and embracing the cross of Christ simply because we don't think lightly of it. We place a high value on what people think when we need to be placing a greater value on what God thinks. He wants us to think lightly and to come so that He might free us from our burden of shame and guilt. And friend, the question for us becomes, don't let it stop you from doing what God would have you to do. And therefore, we need to ask, are there some lessons for us today? And yes, there are. And I love God because God is always up front. He doesn't hide things. He doesn't try to couch it in sugary language. He just says it like it is. And I appreciate somebody who says it like it is. And God says it like it is. And God doesn't hide the fact that the cross is an instrument of shame. Matter of fact, you need to understand something. To become a Christian, you do have to admit some hard things about yourself. And the hardest is, I have sinned. Can't tell you the number of times that I have heard people tell me, well, I've never sinned. They just can't admit it. They're failures. They always try to blame it on somebody else or something else, but it's hard for people to admit that I have failed. And to become a Christian, you are going to have to admit some hard things about yourself. But the same is also true if you are to return to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, you are a Christian, but you haven't been living like a Christian. And now you've got to admit some hard things about yourself and come back and embrace the cross of Christ. Our need to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ as an instrument of shame hasn't lessened. It's only growing more intense because God's goal for every one of His children is that they be conformed to the image of Christ. And to become more like Christ means we're going to have to become less like us. I think the greatest words in all of that are the words of John the Baptist when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. The I in all of us must embrace the cross that Christ in our lives would increase and we would decrease. We need to have an open heart toward God, and you know as well as I do that there are some times in our lives when we just will not allow God to deal with our hearts because we're ashamed of some of the things we've said, thought, or done. Maybe we're still engaged in them. But friend, I want to encourage you to never let shame stop you from choosing to do what Jesus did and embrace that cross and despise your shame and surrender your heart to Jesus. You see, if you want to have God's peace and you want to have God's power in your life, then you and I are going to have to embrace the fact that we've wandered from the cross. We're going to have to embrace the fact that we as a nation have wandered from the cross. We might have to embrace the fact that perhaps we as a church have wandered away from the cross, and it's time to get back to the cross of Jesus Christ and to make Jesus Christ the central figure in our lives, it is time to pick up our cross and to follow Him. And if we'll do that, then we will find God's peace and God's power and God's blessing in our lives, for we will have done what Jesus did. We will have embraced the cross. We will have fulfilled our Father's will. Right where you're at right now, in your home, just bow your head. You may not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've been listening today, and there's a different kind of altar call for you. You're not at church, but God is with you there in His home, in your home. And today, for the very first time, you're recognizing your need to have a Savior. You don't know what to do. I just want to lead you in a prayer, and you repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I want to thank You for dying on Calvary's cross for me, for shedding Your blood for me. I want to thank You that You were willing to take all that I am, all my sin, all my wrongdoing, and bear it on that cursed tree. Thank You for dying my cursed death. Thank You for saving me. And I just invite You into my heart and into my soul. Dear Jesus, come in and be my Lord and my Savior. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know that Jesus has come in. And you are now one of His children. And you need to live like that. You need to be in your Bible daily. You need to write to us here at the church. Contact us some ways. We want to give you some material that will help you in your Christian walk. And you may be a child of God this morning in your home, but you've been on a long, arduous journey. You haven't been as close to God as you ought to be. Matter of fact, if truth be told, you'd have to admit that you left your first love. You've been so focused on you. But this time of this collective timeout, God has brought you to a halt. You can't do what you were doing. You can't go anywhere you please. And God is speaking to you, and God has touched you this morning, and you realize your need to come back to Jesus. And all you need to do is come. What do? You need to bow on your knees right where you're at, and you need to confess how far you've wandered away. You need to ask Jesus to restore you, to create a right spirit within you, to fill you with His Spirit once again. You need to ask God to give you the strength, knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Renew that right spirit in you right now. In just a moment, we're going to close this service. And I just want to thank you for tuning in today. And I pray that Jesus Christ has spoken to your heart. I pray that you will embrace the cross of Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. That name stands above all names. The name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we end our service in prayer. Amen and amen.